Hello, I'm Kathy Long, manager of RSA Conference Europe. This podcast is part of a series of discussions we have had with many of our special guest speakers and security experts from RSA Conference Europe 2011 in London. I hope you'll enjoy.
This is Jean Friedman, content manager for RSA Conference. I am pleased to be speaking with Ramon Crickin, whose session in the data security track is titled Towards Secure Tokenization Algorithms and Architectures. Hello, Ramon.
Hi, Jean. How's it going?
Good. Ramon Crickin is an analyst for Gartner IT1 Security and Risk Management Strategies. He covers software development lifecycle, service-oriented architecture, and general software development security, as well as cryptography, data masking, security monitoring, and security metrics. Wow. Prior to joining Gartner, Ramon was an information security consultant to the financial, utility, and healthcare industries. So, Ramon, can you tell us a bit about tokenization and why it is all the rage?
Sure. Tokenization right now is all the rage because of the PCI DSS regulations. Tokenization is a method whereby we would replace real credit card numbers with surrogate values that can then be used within a merchant environment. And the idea behind that, of course, is that if I break into the merchant environment and I steal all of these surrogate values, it doesn't actually give me the real credit card numbers to work with. So it reduces the value of what I would get if I were to get into one of those environments and actually be able to steal their data.
Have you experienced situations where the implementation did not fit the application use case?
The thing about tokenization is that the way that it works is actually ideally suited for the way that credit card payments work. This, of course, works best in an environment where you have point-of-sale systems, so where the card is present, because what you can do is you can protect the data as soon as you swipe the card through the system. It's a little bit more difficult, but still, you know, not hard to implement in a card-not-present environment. So, for example, e-business. But there you're dealing with the fact that, you know, you do have to enter your credit card number in a website somewhere, and then the software has to do something to the data in order to protect it. So it is perhaps a little bit harder and not quite as super secure as you would have in card present. But, you know, in general, it really fits the application model quite well. Interestingly enough, a lot of the tokenization vendors and some of the customers too are now looking at applying tokenization to data other than credit card data. And that is perhaps where it becomes a little bit more challenging to get it right. So if you look at credit card payments, I mean, really, you only need the real card number once and then pass it through to the bank on the other side. And from that time on, you can use the token. But if you look at other data, such as social security numbers or phone numbers or, you know, what have you, in the course of a lot of business processes, people at various points need to access the original data. So it does create more exposure for the data at that time.
So do you think tokenization is here to stay, or what do you think the next rage might be?
I'm actually quite certain it is here to stay. The reason being that the concept behind tokenization, which if we look at it in a broader perspective is data masking, is something we've been doing for quite a while now. And even tokenization has existed in one form or another at some of our larger customers for a long time now. I mean, sometimes going back 10 or 15 years, where people basically created their own systems to do these things. The reason it is going to stay is that unlike some traditional forms of cryptography or encryption, the data actually remains usable in applications. And so even though encryption is kind of, billed by a lot of laws and regulations as, you know, the thing that you do when you want to protect data, it certainly looks like data masking and then tokenization in particular provides a more usable way of protecting data in some different use cases.
What kind of adoption rate are you seeing?
Particularly when we look at credit card payments, it's kind of dependent on what the size of the merchant is and exactly what we're looking to adopt. So tokenization is at least considered by almost everybody because as soon as you tokenize, it becomes easier to exclude certain systems and databases from the PCI compliance scope, which of course is something that everybody is interested in. But the difference right now at least comes in whether you implement your own tokenization solution or whether you outsource it to, for example, your payment gateway or processor, where smaller merchants may be more interested in outsourcing all of it and basically saying, you know, we don't want anything to do with this data. And some of the larger merchants, although they're at least looking at the services as well, might be more inclined to say, well, you know, we don't know exactly what backend processors we want to use. We want to be able to fail over all of these other things. We like control of our data. So let's get a solution in-house and then leverage that. I mean, realizing that by having the solution in-house, you do have more of a compliance scope, but it is more attractive to them in some cases. But again, tokenization as a concept is under strong consideration and has been implemented by a lot of different organizations.
Okay, so my final question, what would you like your audience to most take away from your session?
So the number one thing is to not just look at tokenization as one thing where you can just go out and buy and implement whatever you want and they're all the same. The PCI Council just released supplemental guidance on tokenization, and in that guidance they recognize that there are multiple ways in which you can do both the generation of the token values as well as the kind of the architecture of how you fold that into the environment. With that comes some different implications for security. So certain methods of generating tokens may be more secure than others, and also certain ways of setting up the architecture may be more secure than others. Usually when people look at tokenization, they kind of say, okay, you know, we replaced the value with a surrogate value, so, you know, that's kind of what it is. But in reality, tokenization is a form of cryptography, but the language doesn't quite fit that well. And so in this session, I'll be relating the two and taking away lessons learned from cryptography in the past to say, okay, what can we or can we not do with tokenization in order to make sure that the data isn't easily reversed? Because, you know, in the end, that's what it comes down. If I have these token values, if I steal the token database, can I, in fact, get to the original data or not? And on top of, you know, just the application of tokenization to credit card processing, the security properties also change when you start to tokenize different kinds of data. So if indeed organizations are looking to do more than just tokenize credit card numbers, what exactly are the implications of that? What data is more amenable to being tokenized than others? So it's a little bit more on the theoretical side, although I will be talking about some of the practical implementation issues as well. So shed a light on both of those.
Well, it sounds like it will be a very interesting session.
Thank you.
So thank you. Yeah, I think delegates will learn quite a bit from your expertise in this area. So Ramon, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
I hope you found this podcast both educational and entertaining, and I hope to see you at RSA Conference Europe 2011 in London. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Kathy Long, manager of RSA Conference Europe.